Of course, the best way to start our service is to go before the throne of God, His mercy seat, His throne of grace, and we're going to ask Deacon Sullivan to open us in prayer today.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this long holiday, or Labor Day, and we praise you for the gathering that we're allowed to do here. Lord, we ask that you continue to guide us and bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, take your song sheets in hand and we're going to sing out to the Lord. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. My Lord, you liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. As the deer panteth for the water, may my soul longeth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, who wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee. perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. O your God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Alleluia. Blessed Trinity. Yes. The three in one. Well, of course, this week were all kind of things were going on. Two prominent funerals. The funeral of John McCain, John Sidney McCain III, and Aretha Franklin. It's interesting how political these funerals have been, in the sense of who gets invited and who doesn't get invited and who showed up and who didn't show up. I thought it was kind of funny, really. Aretha Franklin, of course, called the Queen of Soul, whose father and grandfather were pastors, and she grew up in the church and learned to sing in the church. So her funeral was very well attended. And in the front row, this was amazing, and I saw the pictures of it, were three prominent black Americans. One was Louis Farrakhan, the other was Al Sharpton, and also Jesse Jackson Sr. Of course, none of them looked at each other. They didn't even turn their heads and look at each other. They sat there all, you know, arms crossed, like, you know, body language, like we don't have anything to do with each other. And of course, Bill Clinton was there and a few of other people. And Barack Obama chose not to show up for it, for whatever reasons. And the person that preached the eulogy, one of them, actually got all over Donald Trump for not being there, got all over Obama for not being there, and actually, in my estimation, used the funeral as a bully pulpit for himself and not for the thing. But when asked why were those people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and the racist Louis Farrakhan, why were they invited? And somebody said, well, Aretha wanted them here. And I thought, yeah, she wanted them there because she was hoping they'd hear a salvation message and maybe get saved. And of course, at John McCain's funeral, a lot of people were there. And of course, Kelly Ayotte, who was our former attorney general here in New Hampshire, she was there. She's a very devout Catholic, so she read from the Apocrypha, which was interesting. And so anyway, we'll be watching all of that. Now for my quips and quotes, which I always enjoy bringing to you each week. Here's an interesting thought. No God, N-O, God, no joy. No God, K-N-O-W, then no joy. So no God, no joy, no God, no joy. Play on words. And we're called not just to survive, but to thrive. The NRA murders zero people, receives zero government dollars, government funds. Planned Parenthood kills 300,000 babies every year. They receive $500 million in taxes, dollars annually. And of course, Planned Parenthood also is receiving tons of money, literally, from United Way. I posted on my Facebook which my Facebook page is getting new followers every day. People are asking every day of the week to be friends on Facebook, and I posted something, my first computer, and it had print, refresh, and delete. My first computer was a pencil. Everyone liked that one. Now here's a senior version of Facebook. For those of my generation who do not and cannot comprehend why Facebook exists, I'm trying to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles. Therefore, every day I walk down the street and tell passersby what I have eaten, how I feel at the moment, and what I've done the night before, what I will do later, and with whom. I give them pictures of my family, my dog, and of me gardening, taking things apart in the garage, watering the lawn, standing in front of landmarks, driving around town, having lunch, and doing what anybody and everybody does every day. I also listen to their conversation, give them thumbs up, and tell them I like them. And it works just like Facebook. I already have 4 people following me, 2 police officers, a private investigator, and a psychiatrist. States like individuals who observe their engagements are respected and trusted, while the reverse is the fate of those who pursue an opposite conduct. Alexander Hamilton, 1790. Have you ever heard the old saying that a conservative is just a liberal who got mugged? Well, I got mugged. It is the manners and spirit of a people which preserve a republican vigor. A degeneracy in these is a canker which soon eats to the heart of its laws and constitution. Thomas Jefferson, 1787. Facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclination, or the dictates of our passions, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. John Adams, 1770. Such biased discrimination is also referred to not in my backyard. That's NIMBY. If you ever see that acronym NIMBY, it means not in my backyard. And of course that refers to many times when people want to establish a drug rehab center or a halfway house or something, and people will say, not in my backyard. To cherish and stimulate the activity of the human mind by multiplying the objects of enterprise is not among the least considerable of the expedients by which the wealth of a nation may be promoted. Alexander Hamilton, 1791. You know, the very powerful and the very stupid have one thing in common. They don't alter their views to fit the facts. They alter the facts to fit their views. Which can be uncomfortable if you happen to be one of the facts that needs altering. And that, believe it or not, comes from Doctor Who, which I watched many years, British science fiction television program produced by the BBC since 1963. I used to watch that quite a bit because it had a lot of things like that that were interesting. Charles de Gaulle is credited with saying, "The graveyards are full of indispensable men." He meant that in every walk of life there are individuals who are so valuable, so significant, they seem to be irreplaceable. And of course, now seeing what's happened with Aretha Franklin and with John McCain, it seems like those people are not replaceable, but of course they are. The same prudence which in private life would forbid our paying our own money for unexplained projects forbids it in the dispensation of the public monies. Thomas Jefferson, 1808. We must reject the idea that every time a law is broken, society is guilty rather than the lawbreaker. It's time to restore the American precept that each individual is accountable for his actions. Ronald Reagan. And of course, why are we doing what we're doing? Because, saints of God, we need to be armed and educated. I had a conversation this week with a friend of mine that I grew up with, and he grew up in the Catholic Church, and he asked me what I thought about the pedophile priests and all this stuff going on, and I said, well, they need to be found out, they need to be prosecuted, and whatever. He says, well, you can't do that. That'd be against the First Amendment, wouldn't it? You're always talking about the First Amendment. It'd be against that because you'd be attacking the Catholic Church. I said, no, you're not attacking the Catholic Church. They're committing a crime and people are being harmed. And why would we sit back and say nothing about that? It was a long conversation and he just didn't think it was right that pedophile priests would be prosecuted. And I said, and of course the Pope is complicit in this. He knows about it and has done nothing about it. He's more concerned with straws in the ocean, not polluting the ocean. And so I said, even he needs to be removed and charged. Well, he can't do that. He's the Pope. And of course, finally, when I started talking about Muslims and everything else, I said, look, Islam believes in conquering the world with the sword. Christianity believes in conquering the world with the love of Christ. Also is interesting this week, you know, how many blacks are supporting Donald Trump. For example, the NFL legend Jim Brown backs Trump in 2020, says support will make me very unpopular in the black community. Nobody messes with Jim Brown. Comedian Richard Pryor, who famously caught on fire while freebasing cocaine, once joked that the same fate would not have befallen Brown. Fire doesn't mean eh to Jim. Fire jumped on Jim once and he said, hey, Pryor joked, brushing the fire off him. Brown, 6'2" and 230 pounds, dominated football as a running back for the Cleveland Browns back in the 1960s. Even at 82 years old, Brown is still a formidable force. Appearing on the JT The Brick Show on Fox Sports Radio this week, Brown said he's supporting President Trump in 2020 and he doesn't care what the black community thinks. I should be criticizing Trump on every level because he does certain things that call for criticism. But when I look at television, I see all these announcers becoming experts and they're pointing the fingers and they're not doing a doggone thing but pointing their fingers. I find myself really pulling for the president, Brown said. Now, that would make me very unpopular in the black community, very unpopular with a lot of Americans, but I think that there are certain good things that are coming out of this presidency because we've never seen anything like it, Brown said, as he reported by TMZ. I won't read the rest of it, but this part I will read. Brown said, it is his duty as a good American. I believe I have to work on myself first to be a good person, as I could be to back up my country as best I know how. And, of course, this week, LeBron James, who's quite an athlete, was interviewed about why he's so against Donald Trump and the things that have gone back and forth. And he actually admitted growing up that he hated white people, that he didn't trust them, even though he went to an all-white school and graduated from it. But all the way along, he said, I just didn't trust white people, didn't want anything to do with them. And of course, he's shown up at a lot of rallies for Hillary Clinton. So it's kind of interesting that he admitted that when we talk about racism, that he was treated very well, has full scholarship there at this school in Akron, Ohio. And yet, he hated white people and wanted nothing to do with them. And of course, you've probably been listening to what's going on from technology in the world and technocracy in the world, China's new AI, artificial intelligence, rumor mongers will be headed straight to prison. Spreading online rumors that violate Beijing's official truth can get you 7 years in jail, and everybody is turned into a rat to tattle on their friends. China asserts that rumors violate individual rights, rumors create social panic, rumors cause fluctuations in the stock market, rumors impact normal business operation, rumors blatantly attack revolutionary martyrs. That's interesting. Autonomous airships set to revolutionize policing emergency services. The technocrat police state is advancing with the invention of a camera-laden blimp to fly over cities looking for evildoers and spying on the remainder. Since they fly at low altitudes, their high-resolution cameras will be able to see the blades of grass in your lawn. Equipped with AI and 5G, they will be able to fully integrate into smart city sensors to provide a real-time analysis of what is taking place on the ground. Your city can't become smart without proper payment infrastructure. Combination of Internet of Things and FinTech powered the high-speed wireless communications of 5G and will enable smart cities function as intended by technocrat social engineers. Without any of these three, smart cities would be a total flop. Thus, your local action in your own city could potentially have a huge impact on scuttling technocracy. And of course, it was also ruled by a court this week that the smart meters that electric company puts there is a violation of your privacy, and that you don't have to have them, you can't be forced into having them. That was interesting. And also this week, our friends Harold Shurtleff with the Camp Constitution had applied for a permit for on Constitution Day, September 17th, to fly the Christian flag at Boston City Hall, put it up the flagpole, which I've done myself with about 5 years ago with the Gadsden flag. And he was turned down for the permit, so they appealed that to the court, and the court said, no, you have no right to fly a Christian flag on that pole. And of course, the strange thing about it, they have flying on that pole the flag of Communist China, the flag of the lesbian, gay, transgendered, LGBTQ+, they fly that flag, but they won't fly a Christian flag. Well, folks, that bodes to what we are facing in this country. Now, if you will turn with me in your copy of the Bible to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking at some scripture there on this beautiful September the 2nd, Labor Day weekend 2018. Yes. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. We have in this chapter of scripture 25 verses.
Let's read 6 and one read 7.
Yes. I think you're right. Let's start with you, Sean.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elected, who are elect exiles of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are not being guarded to faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. That was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 6.
And continuing in the ESV, verses 7 through 12. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it as tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in these things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. That was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 12.
And continuing on in the English Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 18 from the English Standard Version.
And I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, also from the English Standard Version. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Praise God for the reading of his word. I've just read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. I would like to set for us as a theme briefly today what I usually feel the Lord leading me to do, the Holy Spirit directing me, taken right from Scripture. Who is impartial? Actually coming from verse 17. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your existence, of your exile. So the question is, who is impartial? We now are going through that series of meetings in our country about getting Judge Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. You know, you hear good things about him, you hear bad things about him. I mean, depending on the perspective, some people are going to say bad things about him just because they don't want to help Donald Trump get his man, so to speak, the one that he's recommended, get him posted on the Supreme Court. And of course, you know, some people are saying, well, he has a viewpoint that's this way or a viewpoint that's way. We have a judge, any judge, and we've just talked about judges making some rulings that we liked, like those of us who have thought, well, you know, how can we be forced into having a smart meter? That's a violation of our personal privacy and property and whatever else. A judge ruled that it was unconstitutional to have a smart meter and you don't have to have one. And then a judge rules, no, you can't fly the Christian flag in Boston on the Boston flagpole. That's a violation of church and state or whatever else. But then they fly flags from other countries and whatever, and it's not a violation. So obviously that judge, for whatever reason, is very partial, not impartial. So it's probably unrealistic for us to think that we're going to find somebody that's impartial. And of course, as you look through this chapter, there are a number of things that we're reminded of. In the first part of the chapter, it says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. You know, most people, when you ask them, what would you like? And of course, like I started off with my quips and quotes, no joy, no God, no joy. If God's not in your life, you're not going to have any joy. If you know God, then you are definitely going to know joy, K-N-O-W. You will know God and you will know joy. Well, the same thing here. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. What a great blessing that is. It's a great invocation. And of course, many people would say, so what? I'm looking for something else in life. Well, grace and peace, and have it multiplied to you, not just a little bit of grace and peace, but a whole lot. Then as we go on, you see terminology. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And of course, how often do we say we're not serving a dead God, we're serving a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And of course, the song that gets sung, observe a risen Savior, he's in the world today. And a living hope. Why does it have to be a living hope? Is there any other kind of hope but a living hope? Well, obviously, there are people that are hoping for what isn't factual, what isn't true, what isn't going to happen, that God's never promised. A living hope. I mean, this is the same thing as saying, okay, day by day, because you know the Lord, you have joy. So you have a hope, a living hope. And a hope is not just a pipe dream. A hope is not just a bubble that's going to burst. True hope that's biblically based, you're hoping for what the Lord has promised, and that's a good living hope. We keep that. And of course, who by God's power, in verse 5, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, whenever the last time is. And many people say the last time is now. Of course, the coming of the Lord is imminent. It means we don't know when. And of course, various trials mentioned in verse 6. Verse 7, tested by fire. Now, is this literally we're going to be tested by fire, or the fact is many of the various trials we go through feel like we're getting burnt? Like we'll have somebody say, oh, I got burned in that deal, or I got burned from that relationship. So various trials like that feels like fire. And what does fire do? What is it's smelting? I mean, fire is a wonderful thing to stay warm. Last night when we had visitors and I did some barbecue, I mean, we had flame coming up and fire to barbecue the things on the grill. Of course, I couldn't get away from the smoke, and I can feel it in my throat even now. I was getting the smoke from the barbecue. So I was being tested by fire in a sense, okay, instead of saying, you know what, I'm not going to do this, but they wanted it barbecued, they wanted to do that, so I did it. And then we drop down to a latter passage in verse 12. The Holy Spirit sent from heaven things into which angels long to look. We are being able to see things. As the children of God, as born-again believers, as the saints of God, we're able to see things that even the angels don't see. It's interesting if you continue on from that verse. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. Wouldn't you think preparing your body for action? But see, preparing your mind, and I can tell you myself, I have to think through a lot of things. I can see myself doing it, and for example, a project. We've got quite a few projects that are going to have to get done before the snow flies. I'm already thinking through those projects. And so I have to think, prepare my mind for the action. And yesterday I had to do some particular work, and on Friday I did some mowing or whatever. I prepared my mind for the action out ahead. And so that's where the Lord would start in preparing our minds and preparing our hearts for the things we're going to face. So that it just doesn't come upon us and we flake out or fall apart or melt like ice cream in a hot day. And of course, when it's talked about in verse 13, therefore preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when I think about it, that this revelation of Christ that the will be brought to you, okay, so that's something we're not doing. It's being brought to us, and I don't fully understand what that, but you can look at that as saying, we order food from the kitchen, and they'll tell you, go sit down, we'll bring it to you. You've probably heard that enough. You go up to the counter, you order, and they say, go sit down, we'll bring it out to you, we'll bring it to you. And this week we had an experience like that, where we ordered some food inside, and we wanted to sit outside, so they told us, go sit out there, we'll bring it to you. And they brought it to us. And I was very blessed by that. To say, okay, instead of having to go back in and pick it up, they brought it to us. And of course, as you look at following verses there, as obedient children, why does the Lord in His Word refer to us as He wants us to be like obedient children? And I guess I'd have to think about that as a father and having raised three children and having several foster children, that I was very blessed whenever I went places and somebody said, your children are very obedient. And I thought, that's not an accident. They're obedient because they've been taught. And so when the Lord's referring to us as children, and last night with our friends were here. They said about barbecuing, whatever. I said, you know what? I was barbecuing before you were born because I'm 10 years or a little more than 10 years older than both of them. And I said, that's a fact. I was barbecuing before you were born. I was barbecuing actually when I was a child and other things that I was doing. So being referred to as an obedient child, obedient children, is not a derogatory comment of the Lord making about us. The Lord doesn't make derogatory comments about us necessarily. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sinful behavior and says, repent of that and I will help you. Just the same as when we have somebody that we see is in trouble of one sort or another and we care, we offer them help. But of course, the thing is, as we found so often, people are not willing to receive the help that we're willing to give them because they don't want to obey. You know, and I've had the zero policy for guys coming out of jail or taken in or the drug and alcohol center. I said, look, the policy is a zero tolerance policy. This is what you've got to do. And if somebody says, well, you can't tell me what to do. And I said, well, then this isn't the right place for you and I'm not the right person for you. Because if you don't think that I should be telling you what to do, and so like when your children look at you and say, don't tell me what to do. What do you mean? I'm your dad. I can tell you what to do because I'm your dad. You know, I'm your parent. So those same attitudes that are rightful attitudes when you're soberly thinking, and of course sober thinking is not just being not under the influence of drug or alcohol or anything like that. Sober thinking is thinking clearly. Recognizing in this world nobody's impartial. Everybody has some partiality. I mean, for somebody to be totally objective about something is very difficult. And only the wisest amongst us, and only the most mature amongst us, and only those that have been in situation after situation, various trials through fire, can be sober-minded enough to listen to the case as it's been stated. And that's the kind of judge you'd want to stand before in a court of law. You'd want to stand before a judge in a court of law that even though we know as a person he's going to be partial because nobody's totally impartial, but some are more impartial than others and more listening rather than making statements. And so, but he who is called holy has also called you to be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially. And so once again, when we ask, who is impartial? If somebody said to me, well, who is impartial? Who do you know is impartial? The God of the Bible, our Heavenly Father. He's impartial. It says so in his word. I believe it. He said it. I know it's true. So if somebody would ask you the question, do you know anybody that's impartial? I mean, all men are imperfect and all people have frail natures and everything else and so forth. I said, yes, that's true, but I do know somebody who's impartial. And I'd stop for a minute and say, I do know somebody who's impartial. And that would catch people's attention. And then you can stand and say, his name is God the Father. And he's in the Bible. He's the God of the Bible. That ought to catch some attention, don't you think? So, Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. And your time of exile, and of course, is this referring to when the children of Israel were exiled into Babylon or something like that? Or is the fact that for the moment we're here on this sinful world, it feels like we've been exiled from the promised land. And of course the promised land was actual promised land that God promised to his people. You read about it in Deuteronomy. I think we looked at that last week in Deuteronomy 7, 6 and 7. But the promised land that we've been exiled from is we're not yet in heaven. This is not heaven. And on the finest day with the greatest weather, whether you're in a place like, and I'm sure last week with all the trouble of the storms in Hawaii and other places, Hawaii many times people say, oh, this is paradise. This is like being in heaven. No, no. It wasn't like heaven last week. It was probably more like hell. With fires burning and floods and everything else. So the thing is to be reminded of that we seem to be exiled for the moment, but the day is coming when we're going to that place with the Lord. That's a wonderful place. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with mercy and grace, and I'm going to see my Savior there because heaven is a wonderful place. All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. So when I look out and see my lawn turning brown because winter's coming, it's not green anymore. Looks like that grass is dead, but it's not. It's lying dormant. But it can be a reminder to us that though the grass may fail and it's not green anymore during that season, the word of the Lord remains forever. And the word of the Lord is the good news that was preached to you. And since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And isn't that great? Because we know that everything else perishes. Poor people there in Argentina are eating rotten meat. They can't afford fresh meat. And they're eating perishable meat. But the word of God does not perish. And we've been born again by imperishable seed. It's not perishable. I like the way that it doesn't say imperishable. It just says not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Through the living and abiding word of God. Well, let's pray. Oh Lord, there's so much more that we could say and so much more time we could spend looking at it. And we're not in this brief time we have together. We're not saying that we're not going to spend more time to study at a later date and see the things that are true in your word. We don't want to make up the facts are the facts. And we know that with you, knowing you means we will know joy. And there's questions that people will ask, and you are truly the impartial judge, and you will judge. Many people have not liked the judgments that have come out of courts of law. They stood there and other courts, human courts of one sort or another, they haven't liked the judgments. But nobody can say that you're a judge with partiality. You're an impartial judge, and you have said you will judge people by the deeds. And of course, one of the deeds you'll judge them by is whether they have received Christ as their Savior and been born again. And that they're willing to say, I'll have no other king but King Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen.